Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, man, MedMen. 2019 has just started. Well, it's been a few months. Yet history has already been made. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Finally, the moment when a product that once drove good people to the black market has been revealed as one creating a global market. What inspired the symbol of counterculture is at long last just culture, not counter anymore. It's culture. Brought to life in a short film that runs only 2 minutes. That's 120 seconds long. The New Normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. And you can check it out. Watch this video. It's really the best 2 minutes you'll ever see. It's very well done. Spike Jonze himself did it. Watch the video and experience the New Normal at MedMen.com. That's MedMen.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guests today, Barry Martyr and Patrick Warburton. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a new Eat Your Feelings recipe from Gina. And now, he also has a documentary called Free Solo, but it's about his legendary masturbation career. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Man, they get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We rely on you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Hey, in language of losers, where do we rank fell off my plate? That does it land in the language of losers? Now, look, the ultimate is
uncommon phrase.
I forgot or I screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
And then the other one is I didn't triple check when you didn't single check. But where does fell off the plate land?
Yeah, I forgot. I screwed the pooch. Oh, my bad. I messed that one up. That's probably
that's,
better version.
That's the ultimate example of my bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But fell off my plate, although I dropped the ball, but that's I dropped the ball. It fell off my
fell
plate.
Off plate implies
this
is you're eating at sea and some rough weather.
Shot some
white
top.
Squall. Yeah. Anyway, I was just asked. I had Yakov Smirnoff, the comedian, in here yesterday, and I was doing a take a knee with him. He, by the way, he's a delight. He is a delight. That guy.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
He really is. He's a sweetheart of a guy, and. Very interesting guy, and I think we kind of do what we do, I don't know, maybe in a weird way, with your own Dolly Parton.
Mm.
People are a little dismissive, like, oh, look at the big rack and the cowboy hat
it's
and
like
all, the, nails and everything. But we don't realize, oh, there's an artist there.
Exactly.
Like, there's a real good artist there.
They became famous and successful for a reason.
Yeah, and Yakov Smirnoff is really funny, and I think we kind of remember him as the 80s, you know, guy.
Mr. Comic Relief.
Told an interesting story about the Soviet Union collapsing and his whole world going apart. He came here as a young man. He worked as a comedian, and it was all based on Reagan and the Soviet Union and all those guys. And when Perestroika kicked in and they went no more, you know, they tore down the wall and there's no more battling the Soviet Union. His entire act was battling, you know, comparing and contrasting how bad they were to what we were. But now everything
now
got freed up. And now what? And everything went away. And the next thing you know, this guy from some Eastern Bloc something ends up in Branson, Missouri, opening a theater. And it's like a whole new world begins for him.
Did he defect over here or did he just immigrate? I can't imagine it was easy to immigrate from Russia to the U.S.
He they had a thing, as because I asked him, he said they had a thing in the 70s or something, late 70s, where it was sort of, they were asking for grain, they were asking for help over in the Soviet Union, and so we had this, we'll drop off a sack of grain, you give us Yakov Smirnoff.
Kind of thing. That
like,
makes
you,
sense.
You drop off a comedian.
Like back in the day, when, like baseball teams would trade like a bag of baseballs for a player.
Right. Right.
Well, there's also that all the Russian Jewry stuff in the 80s. I don't know if he had anything to do with that, but
this is probably before that. But to hear him say it, that was basically how he got here.
Very insightful, too. We talked to him for maybe 3.5 minutes on his way in, and quiet and insightful and interesting. It was really cool to meet him.
He was a really interesting guy. And he sort of, I said to him, you know, you lived in this communist, which is, I don't know, I'm not a scholar, but communism is sort of turbocharged socialism, let's just say. I mean, it's a general, it's the thought, maybe a little, you know, a little more, an extra packet of cheesy flavoring in the Kraft macaroni cheese is a communism, but it's the same general notion, which is we take everything, we kind of pool
it
together, and then we spread it around, and everyone does the same thing. And, he was kind of saying that when the guy who worked at the Quickie Mart got paid the same amount as airplane pilots and dentists, it kind of, you ended up, it skewed your world. You're like, I'm 13. What do you want to be? It's like, I don't know, a dentist or work the cashiers at the Quickie Mart. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, nothing mattered. There was, everything just paid the same, which, you do that to a society and everyone just goes, screw it, give me a bottle of vodka. Like, what's the least of resistance? Like, why should I be a dentist? Why should I go through all this to get that? So he said it kind of created that. It also kind of created this malaise of like everyone just sort of went and did what they did. Like, there was no, I gotta go.
Right.
I mean, you think about this country and how much of it is, you know what I want to do? You know what I want to get to? Oh, look at that guy. Like, imagine nothing of that in your landscape at all. Just nothing. Everything's the same. Like, there's no building over two stories. Like, if you're an architect and you're, everything was just single family, whatever, you wouldn't look up at that big glass tower and go, one day, you know, there's none of that.
I agree. I've had this thought a lot about like doctors and lawyers and those people who are on the, you know, the top of the socioeconomic chain. The people that I know, it feels like they're more into achieving and excellence, you know, in terms of, you know, making a lot of money and things like that, status, than they are into the law or medicine. Like Mark Garagos would make, if, for example, bus driver, I don't know, name a position, was the, you know, the top
reverse
of
reverse cowgirl.
That's right. Was top of the socioeconomic food chain. Mark Garagos would make an excellent bus driver, you know, because he's a smart guy. He's an achiever. He's a go-getter.
He's motivated.
Whatever that thing is that is, granted, he has a family history of law, but you know what I'm saying? Like Dr. Drew, and he has a family history of medicine. I can't imagine he's, if it was something else, he'd be just as passionate about that and just as successful at that because it attracts go-getters into that, achievers into that upper stratosphere.
And so you're living in a land that has none of that in it.
So you don't have anything to attract the achievers.
And he told this kind of interesting story about, well, I'll tell
NASA scientists, you know, whatever that thing is.
Engineers. Gotcha. Winners. MedMen.com. I want to thank them. And I want to thank TommyJohn.com/Adam. Castrol Edge as well. Titanium Strong for maximum energy performance. So he said he had a revelation, which is he was actually working as a comedian on a cruise ship. And at a certain point when the cruise was over, he said to like the guy who was running the thing or something, he's like, could I get an extra room so my parents could come with me like on the next cruise? And the guy went, no, we don't do that. So screw you. And he went, okay. And then at some point it got back to somebody that this guy wanted an extra room or he wouldn't do the next cruise or whatever it is. And the guy went, oh, that guy's funny. I want that guy to go on our next cruise. That guy's valuable to us. He entertains people. He's better than the other guy. So, okay, get that. Yeah, no, that guy's parents can have the cabin. And it's like, oh, so being better and performing and outperforming, there is something to that.
Response.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Your parents do get that cabin instead of screw you. So it's these are all interesting because he's born into this world. But at a certain point, He sort of told a joke, but it wasn't a joke. And it was kind of based on, I heard this story, like recently some guy went to the college campus of blah, blah. And he just talked to students, like, what do you think of socialism? And, you know, not surprisingly, a lot of the 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-olds, they were into it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, yeah, I'm down with it. Like, I like the notion. I like the idea. And then the guy said, okay, how about we do it with your GPA? Like, how about we take a couple of points from your, you know, you got a 3.8. Let's just make it a 3.5. We'll give those 3 points to the others. People with a lower GPA who can use a little help, you know, and this is a big deal. You get a, you know, this on your permanent record. And everyone was like, I don't think so. And it was like, but why not? It's like, because I work hard. Like, I had to study.
Hard for that.
I had to study for that. Like, I had to work hard for that. It's not, they didn't study. I'm just giving them my whatever. And
ta-da.
Everyone who loves socialism, just, as soon as you start talking about, and it's, yeah, it's true. Like, you can go, yeah, well, everyone should have this and everyone should have that. Okay. Well, now I'm going to ask you to shave a couple of points off your GPA. Yeah. And they're like, no, not fair. So it was funny. So off of that, hopefully, Gary fell off your plate, but it'll land on your lap and you have it now, right? Ready to go?
Yep, I fucked that up. It's coming through the internet right now to Chris and Dawson, and they'll have it. It's about 60 seconds.
I'll play you this little story. It's funny. It's very basic, and it's funny, but it's also, like, insanely true. Like, when you're trying to distill comedy down into, like, oh, it's got to make sense, like, as a human being or as it's human nature or whatever it is. Like, when it's like, I don't know that happens. Like, then the comedy lands flat, but falls flat. But when it makes sense, it's so good. All right. So we'll play it. Max Patty, you have it now?
Yep. It's queued up. Here we go.
Is that going to be on this week's, next week's Second E? Okay. Thanks. What are your feelings when you hear young politicians kind of start leaning toward a socialist? I know they always put a sort of happy spin on it, but a government where somebody earns the money and then we sort of share everything.
Right.
I think it would be fantastic if we weren't humans, but the problem is it doesn't really work with human beings. But you lived it, so tell me.
I remember a joke that my mom told me, she said, you know, two communists were talking to one another. And one said, let me ask you, if you had two houses, would you give me one? And I said, of course, you're my fellow communist. Of course I give you. If you had two cars, would you give me one? Yeah, why even asking? That's what we're supposed to do. We share everything. He said, if you had two chickens, would you give me one? He said, no. Why not? I have two chickens.
I have a GPA.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm not involved with the healthcare industry, so that should all be free, but I have a GPA and you're not getting 2 points off it. Yeah. I have two chickens. Mm-hmm. So thus you can't have one. Very telling in terms of human beings. Look, I don't think it's bad wiring. It's our wiring. Mm-hmm. It's all humans wiring. Mm-hmm. And the two houses is great because you live in one apartment.
Right.
And that's awesome. That's the difference is would you run into a burning house to save a stranger? Absolutely. Versus, hey, there's a burning house. I need you to go in there.
God, I'd love
That's a little different.
When I can feel the heat.
I just conditioned my hair. So it's extra flammable.
Not flame retardant.
So that was, I thought that was interesting. Anyway, he's an interesting guy. He came out, auditioned out for the Comedy Store, lived with Andrew Dice Clay for 3 years. And all these guys, Letterman and Leno and all these guys before they're anybody in the late 70s and all that stuff. Like, what a weird time. And I was saying, I know you want to jump in. Let me say this. I said to him, you know, anytime you look at a history, like, look no further than the heavyweight division. The heavyweight division in boxing in the 70s, like, oh, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and Joe Frazier and all the other big names and the big fights and the big matter. And then you get into the 80s and it's like Ronaldo, Snipes and Tony Tubbs and TNT Ferguson or whatever, like
all
a bunch
names.
Of like a blah. So not all decades are the same for cars.
Right.
You know, not all the same, you know, 60s Americana, muscle, great, 70s. Cordova, you know what I mean? So in comedy, it's the same way. Like, you could land in right in the middle of Leno and Letterman and Robin Williams
Hotbed.
And Sam Kinison. Like, you're sitting there with a young Leno, young Letterman, young Sam Kennison, young Robin Williams, and you just land in the middle of that. Mm. Or
not. Could have come out and you had 10 years before or after.
Right.
I wonder, I can't wait to hear this interview, because you think of Letterman, you think of all these big names, you think, well, they conquered New York, the comedy scene, they conquered L.A. He said, there's something in the middle of the country that's untapped, and I am going to pioneer right into the flyover states, and I'm sure he was laughed at, and I'm sure people thought it was insane, and look at what he has done. The empire that is the Ozarks and Silver Dollar City and Branson and kind of my home turf.
It's laughing all the way to the bank.
Absolutely.
Well, not only that, but he said as a joke, but it was kind of funny. He said, I went to Branson where they didn't know the former Soviet Union had fallen.
Like
they
didn't. Sure.
The word hadn't got to them yet. And it's like, I kind of know what you're saying. Like, you can still use a lot of those jokes.
Well, didn't we say on this very show, like, whatever happened to Yakov Smirnoff a couple of years ago, the guy's got an empire. Mm-hmm. He's laughing all the way to the bank.
So speaking of comedians and, I don't know, you guys tell me if your mind is blown, but, so Kevin Hart has done a bunch of Netflix specials, and Kevin Hart is one of maybe the biggest stand-up in the world. Kevin Hart's got a lot of energy and a lot of stories, but the jokes are a little, I'm not sure, but I like him and I like what he's doing.
It's a great performer.
He has a great motor. And then, of course, famously got tapped to host the Oscars, and then some tweets from 10 years or 9 years ago came out that he already apologized for, and then, you know, all over the news, and he said, I'm not going to apologize again, so they passed over him. And there was a lot of controversy, and the controversy was Kevin Hart making anti-gay LGBT tweets. Mm-hmm. And I think, Max Zapata, I think the big one was like his son. Like, my son's gay, I'm going to smack him in the head or whatever it is. And you kind of go like, And I'm a guy who makes jokes about stuff I mean all the time. So it's part like, come on, it's just a joke. That starts with knock knock. Yeah. When I make jokes, I mean them. I wouldn't think of him if I didn't mean him.
And you've already embraced your son's future homosexuality.
Yeah. Praying he's going to be a top. That's all. Dad can dream. So he made his jokes.
Shoot the stars.
He made his jokes. And again, it's a look, there's a big difference between whacking your son in the head because you think he's gay and then making a joke about whacking your son in the head and never whacking your son in the head. That's a different thing to me. On the other hand, if the people you're talking about, the joke, doesn't live in a bubble. There's a jab there, which fine. I like to live in that world. That's absolutely fine. God knows, by the way, gay community makes fun of breeders, like make fun of like just straight community all the goddamn time. If you ever hang out with any gay guys, they're.
Ginny, you ever hang out with any gay guys?
You know, they don't judge. They can't judge. They would never judge someone's appearance or not their body shape or what
their BMI.
They might be choosing to wear.
If they're feeling a bit catty, it's to their own. It's only
never gay. The guy with the knee socks and the sandals from
he gets totally
Missouri.
Left alone.
No, he gets left alone. Yeah, everyone does it. Fine, so be it. Make gay guy make fun of what I wear. I don't care. But anyway, so Kevin Hart got. Specifically, everyone who's alive on this planet knows that he got into trouble very recently for some gay remarks, some anti-gay remarks, but he says there were jokes, but they went ahead and whatever. And I was just cruising Netflix last night with my brown bandana hanging on my right pocket so people knew where I was at.
Sure.
And I came across, I was looking, oh, Kevin Hart special. So I was like looking at it, and you click on them, and they do, I don't know, how long is the teaser.
It's like a 30-second teaser. You know, even when you just highlight a movie,
when you hover over it
forces a little trailer on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how long is it?
Like 30 seconds.
Like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. Give me the runtime next time. Yeah.
We initially said, really? Yeah,
I said, give me the time. We were all guessing how long it was when we were watching it.
Yeah, we were all guessing like 25, 40 seconds.
All right. So check the runtime.
Okay.
We don't have to guess. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I think it's a little longer, but anyway. He does or you can check it now, but he does it's seriously not funny. And I was like, all right, well, let's check it out. Let's see.
It's not seriously
I'm
funny.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Seriously.
Freudian.
Paging Dr. Freud.
Wow.
Seriously funny. Seriously funny. the Kevin Hart special. So I was like, okay, how long is the special, Max Pata? I'm going to buy you some time there, brother.
Special's an hour, 7 minutes.
Hour seven. And we have, you'll figure out the exact runtime. I'll tell you guys about Tommy John. The reason I went the exact time is because I brought it up three times. But I, it, yeah, make
three
a face.
Times,
we're all sitting there guessing how long it is, right? How long was it? How long was it? But we don't know, but we know it's short. It, all right, but look up the runtime.
All right.
It's easier that way.
I see where you're going now.
Yes, because I'm trying to make a point here, which is they chose 41 seconds of an hour and 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they could have chose any 41 seconds to put up there. Now, we'll see. Yeah? All right. I'll tell you about Tommy John, and then we'll make my point. Tommy John, warm weather is here. New arrivals, prints, colors, patterns, all hidden to your groin and your back this summer from TommyJohn.com. Men's and women's underwear, no, they all sport the no wedgie guarantee. Comfortable, stay put, waistbands, no fabrics. Fabric super soft, designed to move with you. All new, insanely soft second skin polo, reinventing casual comfort. The new Air collection for ladies, lightweight, breathable fabric, no visible panty line guaranteed. Perfect for yoga pants or the fitted dress. I know.
I'm listening.
It's getting warm out there. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. I'm wearing my Tommy John underpants and t-shirt right now. It is the best. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. So the runtime, Max Pata, for the thing is...
The trailer is 37 seconds.
So 37 seconds out of 107. And I'm like, all right, well, let's see what the best of the 107 is. And here's what I stumbled across many, many months after the controversy in the tweets. Go
Every
ahead.
Every kid has a gay moment, okay? Every kid. But when it happens, you got to nip it in the bud. You got to stop it right then. Hey, stop. That's gay. It's quick. No. I don't know if I handle my son's situation right, okay? He's at a birthday party, right? My son had a birthday party. He's playing. You know when kids play, they just play. You don't know what they're doing, but they're having a good time. They're just doing a bunch of stuff, right? They're moving around. I said, okay, he's good. I finished talking. I turned back around to check on my son again. A little boy was grinding on my son's ass. He was like this. I didn't know what to do. I panicked. I knocked them both down.
Just slammed the mic stand down to the ground with his left arm.
Feels like in the light of the recent controversy, it was very notable. You'd want to have any clip other than that.
Well, considering there's a whole hour, 6 minutes, and 23 seconds yeah.
that they could
pick over.
There's presumably 60 other jokes.
Unless this was the least offensive in the hour.
Man. The joke is my son was acting gay, so I... tried to stomach it, but at a certain point when another kid started acting gay next to him, I just panicked and struck both of them.
Had to assault them.
First off, it's kind of, I don't know, it's not the highbrow wishing your son was a top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's more soul shit right there. That's super high-end comedy there. But that's also...
cerebral humor.
The joke is, boy, do I not want my son to be gay. And the other kids, I hit him.
Yeah.
Now... this isn't on Kevin Hart. This is on Netflix, which is, why are you pulling this clip? Mm. Or let's just say you did it pre all the I am being physical. Yeah. If you read the tweet, Max Pata, which you can find at some point, he was saying something like, if my son is gay, I'm going to hit him in the head or something.
It's,
like,
if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, stop, that's gay.
Okay, what was different about that tweet and that joke?
Nothing. It seemed like it came from the same place, the same genesis.
Yes, it was, my son was gay, mm-hmm. I didn't like it, I put my hand, I did something to it.
Took physical action.
Right. Okay, now look, Kevin Hart can joke all he wants about anything he wants, that's fine. Person in charge of pulling clips at Netflix? Maybe not this clip?
Do you think it was a little bit of a sabotage?
No. I always wish that. It's like my guys at the other shop or these guys. I pray they just have a personal vendetta against me. It turns out it was just a colossal fuck up. Like that. I wish it was sabotage.
My thought was the other direction, which is, I don't know if it's better or worse. Someone at Netflix is like, oh, this is what Kevin Hart's known for in the last 6 months.
Oh.
Well, and
people are
going to
associate this with Kevin
Let's
Hart.
Presume that this existed like before the controversy. This existed before the controversy because this is from 2010. So this was up and running. This is up and running. But nobody thought to kind of go, what do we have? We have five Kevin Hart specials. Mm-hmm. I don't want to scrub through every hour. I'm just saying, what did we put up as a representation of that? And if there's one knocking the stranger over and his son because they may be gay, replace that with women be shopping.
For example.
For example.
The only thing I can think of is somebody said, hey, find the biggest laugh. I don't care what it is. Whatever the biggest laugh is, and put that. That's the highlight.
Fine. That was in 2010.
Yeah.
Now,
in the light of.
There's been nothing but controversy about Kevin Hart and his son, especially, and his son being gay. Netflix, they probably have more than 10 employees.
Have one assigned. Oh, go back to the Bill Cosby specials. You know, Bill Cosby himself.
Yes.
Make sure Spanish fly.
Something, exactly. Not something, you know, that's in light of recent controversies.
It is weird that we live in that society where I'm not going like, I'm some watchdog glad group that's going to scrub through every. No. I just hit, Kevin Hart. I just hit it. And that's the first.
That's the trailer.
That's the entire trailer. Right. There's nothing before it. There's nothing after it. There's just 37 seconds of I'd hate it if my son was gay.
And somebody cut that together, so somebody spent time on it to where they would remember that once these tweets resurfaced and the whole controversy happened. I don't know how that doesn't trigger any memories to go back and fix that.
Well, now it makes me want to look. And then you went to YouTube, right? You went to the trailer that was on YouTube.
Yeah.
That just started with something about, I mean, literally out of the box with, I hope my son's not gay.
Oh, my God.
Out of the box. One.
All right, when you play the hits.
I worked the finesse, which is I already know my son's
gay.
Yeah,
that's right.
I took it.
The more cerebral angle.
That's right. All right. Let's see. You can see if you can find that one, Max. The one you pulled up for me.
Yeah,
which
we have
is,
right here.
Oh, we'll just play that one, which is kind of funny. You have to listen hard because it's right out of the gate.
Every kid has a gay moment. You got to stop it right there. Hey, stop. That's gay. It's quick.
All right. The thing that's also funny is it's not really a joke unless being gay is bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Like
every
wrong.
Son has. Like you're saying it like every kid gets caught stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, stop it.
That's right.
Every kid gets caught cheating on a test. Hey, stop it.
Every kid
that's wrong. That's wrong.
With his hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
Hey, stop it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of a weird.
That's the presupposed subtext. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is bad.
And
stop it.
But I mean, remember this got, or at least the way they edited it, it got a huge laugh.
Yeah.
So somebody's agreeing.
Now to be fair, Jim Gaffigan wrote most of that.
Good job, Gaffigan. Screwed up again.
I'm just saying, YouTube and Netflix and whatever, if we're woke in 2019 and he survived the tsunami of anti-gay with his kid or whatever, maybe not the tip of the spear for the comedy promo.
Yep.
As I hate gay because my son, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Yeah?
Worth a revisit.
Yeah. For
mm-hmm. sure. All right. Patrick Warburton. Weird, right? Just
yes.
Maybe that's why they weren't interested in not talk about material, not gay enough,
but this
not
falls,
gay bashing enough.
It falls under the heading for me. I always talk about how insanely smart and dumb we are simultaneously as a people, as a creature. Because if you look at Netflix, here's the science behind Netflix is I pick up my universal remote sitting on my sofa in La Cañada and I point it at the box that's strapped to the wall and I hit a button and it goes up to a satellite a million miles that's going 17,000 miles orbiting the Earth and then that fires back and then I see a picture of Kevin Hart and I like point it at it. I still point.
Sure.
And I stab at it and I click, hit select and then that thing lights up and then I get to choose between trailer and full or whatever. That's a lot of technology.
Yeah.
So one part of us is smart.
Yep.
But then the 37 seconds of Kevin Hart talking about bashing his gay son and you go, not so smart.
Yeah.
They still exist.
Weird, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like you think either we're good at making decisions or we're smart or we're bright or we're awake or whatever. And again, this one isn't on Kevin Hart. It's why they chose that one and then why they didn't scrub it after all of this. Like, it's not like his trailer. He has five specials on Netflix. You could watch the trailer for all five of them in under 3 minutes. Mm. Be pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy lunchtime. Challenge. All right. Challenge. I got a great magnet story here, but I feel like Patrick and Barry are out there. Maybe I ought to think about them. Let me just hit Castrol Edge real quick. No? Huh?
Yeah, what? Go ahead.
Is that okay?
I am okay with this.
Yes. Okay. Let me hit. Well, then don't shake your head. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of the performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep those metal parts from rubbing. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic. Against viscosity breakdown, it is the best. It is Castrol Edge. All right. My stand-up special, where I make fun of my gay son, is in a super sensitive, self-deprecating way, a woke way. Not Taco Bell materials, available now.
Make fun of for not being gay enough.
That's right. You can get a chassis, two S's and a Y, and iTunes and Amazon. Leave a nice rating. I always like reading your reports on it. And coming to San Francisco Friday and Saturday. Beautiful San Francisco. The 19th and the 20th, doing stand-up there at Cobb's. Still a few tickets left for that. And we'll take a quickie break. We'll bring in Patrick Warburton and Barry Marder next. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold-my-beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. Hits the road again this spring.
Canuck. Is a Canuck a Canadian or is a Vancouver Canadian or what is a Canuck? We don't care.
In San Francisco at Cobb's on April 19th. Sacramento at Thunder Valley on Friday, April 26th. In Brea on May 17th. And at Denver Comedy Works South on June 14th and 15th. Tickets available now at adamcarolla.com. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast. Read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I become hooked in the show back in 2012. I have been listening ever since. Adam, his amazing combination of the hilarious, caustic, self-deprecating, and wise, the absolutely hell me stay, sang and world.
From your mouth to God's ears. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Barry Marder and Patrick Warburton, two of our favorites in studio. Letters from a Nut. We've talked about this one before. Irvine, that's the improv in Irvine, on May 10th through the 12th. Five shows coming up. Tickets at Irvine. Tickets at improv.com. Good to see you, Barry. Good to see you, Patrick.
Thank you.
See you. Thanks for having us here, Adam.
I'm enjoying it. I was watching the show last night, and so I saw the performed by Barry version, which started because you got some bad Fritos, and you wrote a letter, and then you kept writing letters, and Seinfeld came over to your house and found them.
90% of that is correct. Do you want to hear the beginning of how this started?
I do, and I would like, as a sort of sidebar, to say, I would like, for one time, someone to come to my house and discover my genius, instead of me going to Netflix and trying to pitch shit where they went, yeah, I don't think so.
Come on over.
It's the exact opposite of what happens to
come
you.
Come on over. I'll discover it for you.
Well, you got to come to my pad and discover my genius.
I don't mind.
You're pretty well diversified, Adam. It's out there.
Still wish that someone would just stumble upon a treasure trove of genius at my house.
Just something that you haven't done yet.
And I'd go, oh, those notes? That's nothing. And I go, what do you mean? This is the New York Times.
This is the new Hamilton right here.
Placemat.
Right. Sorry. Go ahead, Barry.
How the Ted L. Nancy thing started, that's what you want to hear?
Ted L. Nancy is the pen name, right?
This is many years ago, maybe 24, 25 years ago. Phyllis Murphy, who is my girlfriend, still with her, fantastic girl. I told her the other day, if we get any heavier in bed, we're going to need a seatbelt extender. And she was actually, this was after a night of amour. We were sitting there. She was on the edge of the bed watching TV, kind of aimlessly listening to me, not listening to me. And I was sitting there and I was looking for a snack, which I seem to have been doing now for 47 years here, you know, constantly looking for a snack. Only took 10 years off to not look for a snack. And she had bought some Fritos. Now, I'm not a big Frito person. It wasn't my go-to snack. But I thought, well, these look kind of interesting. I think I'll have a Frito. So I was reading the bag of the Fritos. You know how you kind of mindlessly read something while you're just doing nothing?
Sure.
And the bag said, got any issues? Got any problems? Write Fritos. We want to hear from you. And I thought, who wants to write Fritos with a problem? I mean, what are you going to unload on a corn chip company?
Right.
Tell them your problems, you know? And she's kind of, like I said, half listening. And I said, well, what could you write to Fritos? And I looked at them. I said, maybe I could write to them and say that I don't have an idea of what the concept of a Frito is. The ones I have here are all curled and bent and curly, and they're stale looking and salty. So I threw them all away. Mm-hmm. And I said, then I had to go buy another bag of Fritos, and those were all the same thing, curled and bent and curly. And then I said to her, who would do this? And she said, a nut. That's who would do this.
Your girl.
My lady friend. She's now a lady friend.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day I was at the 99-cent store, and I was buying some Bonami cleanser because I only like cleanser from the 1920s. And on the side there, it had the same kind of president's message. Got any issues? You want to talk to us about anything? Write to Bonami.
I feel the same way. Like, why invite that opening? Why invite that criticism?
Right.
Why would you advertise for that? You know, I understand the trucking companies where you have to go, how's my driving? The insurance company made them put that on there. But Bonami, you think they're liable if they don't open it up to dialogue about their cleanser?
Well, the guy's name on there was smudged. He had one of these. His name was Gordon Brewcar the Fourth or Gordon Brewbar the Fifth, and it was smudged.
Right.
And I couldn't get a take on his name, and I thought, well, I'll write him. You know, he wants to hear from me. And he was so excited that he wrote me back. And we got into a whole thing, and my mother saw this and goes, this guy's in worse shape than you.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's, you know, I said, well, who's writing a starch company and raving and unloading on your problems?
Right.
Anyway, that kind of started it. I thought maybe, what really put it over for me was the gas company sent me, you know, they're always sending you pamphlets in the gas. And then they said, if you have any issues with that, write to the gas company. And I said, what could you say? And I said, because I said, I'm probably the only person that's reading your pamphlets, but I'm missing the set from 1988 with all of your gas all-stars. Perhaps you can. Anyway, it got me into this thing, and then people were answering me, and I thought, you know, well, let me do this. And little did I know it would take over my life like a sickness.
If the fact that you become very peckish in your refractory period.
What do two of those words mean, peckish and refractory?
Has all led to this. I think we have two letters, and Patrick's here because Patrick's going to be playing. Well, I guess you become Ted L. Nancy, right, when you get up there on stage and read the letters from the nut?
Yeah, I'll be reading them as Ted, yes.
Do we have a couple? Ted.
We do.
We do.
Now, these are different than – we have the play that we were here last time, which I did with Beth Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
We did at the Geffen Playhouse, Geffen Theater, whatever you want to call it. And that is airing now on Amazon and iTunes. It is wherever fine comedy is sold. And that's a different show than what Patrick is doing, which he's over at the Improv. He's doing – we got about 90% new stuff in here.
Yeah. Oh, so if you see that show, you won't be spoiled for this show.
And I wanted to just bring that up. So do you want to read – which one do you want to read first? Do you want to read the
Coca-Cola?
Diet Coke, okay.
So here's a letter.
Diet Coke.
Yeah, this is a letter that Ted wrote to the Coca-Cola company. Dear Coca-Cola, I have a beverage called Diet Coke. Will it interfere with your beverage, Diet Coke? The taste is not similar at all. Mine tastes like Pepsi. But I'll sell my Diet Coke to mostly construction workers who love it. One guy said, this sure doesn't taste like Coca-Cola. So let me know so I can continue to sell my soda. Thanks. And by the way, do you use caramel in your soda? Just checking. Thanks. Sincerely, Ted Elnancy.
And then they wrote back, and they said, Mr. Ted Elnancy, re-Kiat Doke, our reference number 145342. Dear Mr. Nancy, thank you for your letter of October 25 inquiring whether you may continue using the trademark Kiat Doke in association with a beverage. As the owner of a federal registration for the famous trademark Diet Coke, we cannot consent to your use of Kiat Doke in association with a beverage. We believe Kiat Doke is confusingly similar to our trademark Diet Coke and are concerned that an appreciable number of consumers will believe that the Coca-Cola company endorses your product. As a result, we must insist that you immediately take action to discontinue the use of Kiat Doke. If you are willing to immediately cease and desist using Kiat Doke and agree not to use any product name or trademark of the Coca-Cola company in association with the beverages in the future, please sign the spaces provided and return this letter to me. If we have not received a signed agreement within 15 days of the date of this letter, we will assume you do not agree to these terms, and that was sincerely a corporate lawyer, trademark counselor.
And this is Ted's response. Dear Mrs. Nancy V. Stevens, I have decided that I will not sell my Kiat Doke beverage anymore. The product is discontinued. I am taking my $700 out of the bank and my 11 cans of Kiat Doke that are left and bringing them home. They're in my room now. I now realize it was a poorly thought out idea. It was stupid. I mean, if you went to 7-Eleven and saw in the cooler Dr. Pepper, Orange Crush, Wink, and Diet Coke, would you choose the Kiat Doke? I don't think so. The idea was bad. Who was I to think that someone would choose Kiat Doke? I am embarrassed over what I now consider to be a terrible idea, so let this letter stand as my admission that I have ceased and desisted. There will be no more Kiat Doke on the market, and I am sorry that I bothered you, and I'm sorry I wasted your time. And please look for my new beverage, Piet Depsy, with the familiar slogan, it tastes nothing like Coke, which will be in cooler soon. Piet Depsy is a thirst-quenching drink, which I believe does not taste like your drink. Enjoy it. Also, what about the caramel in your soda? Are you using a lot of it? Thanks. Respectfully, Ted Elnancy.
And then the announcer comes on and said, Mr. Nancy had no further communication with the Coca-Cola company. The years went by. Then he wrote them again.
All right, one more. Dear Mrs. Nancy V. Stevens, Coca-Cola Company, I wrote to you many years ago. I'm finally out of prison. I've given your letter a lot of thought while I was incarcerated, and I would like to start selling Kiat Doke again. With all the new flavors now, like cherry vanilla, I would like to expand to Kiat Doke Very Chanella. I'm not very timid anymore. I am a man. Not that meek man that I was when I went in. I saw many harsh things while incarcerated, like death row inmates asking for a last meal of chicken fried steak and a Dr. Pepper, which in no way should be confused with Dr. Pepper. I already spoke to their lawyers at length about that, and we're good. So look for new Kiat Doke in your cooler. Respectfully, Ted Elnancy.
So that's just one of the new letters that awesome. We can expect some of the people in the back row to start leaving.
I love it.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Is this the way out? Is this the exit?
There's nothing better than... I mean, obviously the responses are perfect because they're always in earnest. And, and it's you can't... In the comedy department, it's sort of one thing to go, I did this, and this guy did that. You should have seen... You should have been there. But this is you being there. This is a letter from the corporation, from the person, which is... There can't be, you know, hyperbole because it's... in black and white.
Paper trail.
Literally.
Yeah. I need to ask you what hyperbole means.
Oh, man. Refractory, hyperbole.
Peckish.
Peckish. You.
I don't even know what peckish is, but it sounds like some kind of Joe Biden thing.
I think it's glorious how he just wastes corporate time, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
yeah.
so fun to just punk them.
Adds 8 cents to the sack of every Fritos. Putting it out of reach of the disenfranchised. Yeah. But okay, you're having a laugh. Seinfeld's loving what he's seeing.
You're a genius.
Look up the definition of peckish.
Peckish is what? I would really like to know.
It's hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry?
I don't know if it's sort of yiddy for, are we allowed to say that?
Yes.
For hungry?
Barry and I say yes.
Shut that yiddy mouth. What happens when a Jew gets lost in the wilderness? Spotted a yiddy. All right. We'll look that up. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the news. You guys will sit in and crack wise, and we'll do that right after this.
We still have another letter.
Oh, we do?
Of course.
Oh, sorry. I had two letters, and I thought the Coke was
there. No, we got...
Oh, well, let's do the one more.
If you want to hear them.
Yeah, let's do the one more. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Are we going to do it?
Oh. Yeah, put your bifocals on.
All right.
Barry's running the show now.
Apparently. Yeah.
Okay. This is Ted. He wrote to Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee Cakes. Dear Sarah Lee, I want to tell you... an incident that happened to me yesterday. I've enjoyed your cookies, cakes, and goodies for years. I weigh quite a bit from eating Sara Lee 500. I know your slogan is nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Yesterday at my mosh party, I put out one of your fudgy swirl cakes, and a female guest, also heavy, 600 pounds, said to me, I don't like this. I said, what do you mean? Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. And she said, well, I don't like it. So one thing led to another. She came at me with a shrimp fork, punctured my arm, didn't break the skin, luckily. My question, she accused me of using poor English by saying, nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Is this poor English? Who's using poor English? You and me or her? Can you tell me? Also, can you give me a list of your cakes that I can send to her so that she will find a snack that she likes? To me, everybody do not like something, but nobody can say they will do not like Sara Lee. So thank you for clearing this English thing up.
Maxipata, sorry, I know we got a rebuttal, but you can find the commercial where they sing the song. Everybody likes something.
Nobody does.
Like Sara Lee. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, for all our younger audience.
And then she wrote back, would you like to hear this?
Yes.
Dear Mr. Nancy, thank you for taking the time to contact Sara Lee. Your comments will be passed to the many people involved in developing, producing, and marketing our baked goods. I'm sure they want to hear this at this point. Huh? The slogan has been, nobody doesn't like Sara Lee since 1968. It was just a catchy phrase that stuck with us. It is meant for product recognition, not as a teaching tool. We apologize for any confusion that has caused. Sincerely, Tracy McCarthy, Consumer Services.
But you can't make it up. All right. Peckish and the Sara Lee jingle. Oh, well, let's see. We got it now. What year is this from?
This letter?
Oh, I'm sorry. They were looking at the
60s.
Come on, the TV. Is this TV on? Their TV, Max Banner?
No.
I mean, I'm going to go with no. I mean, does it work, I guess would be the answer.
It might work. We've been having trouble with it.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys look at the screen. We'll play it. Sorry.
Everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
All right, we get it. Funny,
there's a minute of that?
Can't wait to hear the second verse of that song.
Where's the hook?
They just show people being miserable and then enjoying
their... imagine that pitch meeting. You got anything else beside that one verse?
Yeah, see?
Now we're wrapped.
Yeah, that's what happens to me. Instead of Seinfeld coming to my pad and discovering some tasty cakes and going, hey, man,
hey,
I think we're on to something. All right, we'll take a quickie break. Peckish.
Peckish from the 1700s. It literally just means... disposed to peck, so hungry. Yeah.
Oh, and how were you using it with me?
You were hungry.
After your refractory.
You're feeling, you're at your mid-refractory
period. Oh, this
period.
Was after my evening of Amour?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so you right. probably carried the refractory period into the right. following morning.
He knows it Amour, a but little... not peckish.
Well, I was having Amour. I wasn't pecking.
All right. Quick break. Come back. We'll do news right after this.